This is episode 3 of Becoming a Strategist. Welcome back. In the previous episode, we saw how we can become non-strategic when we rely on our natural thinking styles. In this episode, let's talk about how to become more strategic in your orientation. This will also help you overcome some of those thinking traps we saw in the previous episode. As you may recall, strategic thinking is the ability to cut through all the information clutter in a situation and get to the heart of the matter, and then identify the most powerful levers in that situation. In episode 1 of this season, we saw how Bratton did it. He not only figured out that both minor and major crimes were a problem, but also figured out the most critical levers in that situation to solve those core issues. Today, let's find out how you can do the same in any situation. This is important not just for strategy professionals, but also for any manager. And beyond managers, this is critical for almost anyone. In this episode, you will take away 3 things. Number 1, what is the meaning of this concept called core issue or a big issue? Number 2, what are some of the examples of a core issue in a situation? And number 3, some pointers on how to identify a big issue in any situation. What is a core issue? Let me explain this with an example. This is a story from a long time back when NASA engineers were planning their first moon mission. Since a space shuttle landing on a moon is a fairly expensive project, such a project requires extensive planning. Now, recently, we saw a SpaceX rocket that failed and crashed as it took off. Some people estimated that the cost of that crash was $120 million. Extensive planning helps you prevent such expensive outcomes. Even when you make a major investment, you often undertake extensive planning. For example, the very first job, the corporate job that I ever held, involved me building and studying a simulation model of an oil refinery. My company was building the largest greenfield refinery in Asia and needed to know how many jetties are ideal at the port. I spent 6 months building a simulation model and then studying it under various conditions. And this was all to find out what is the optimal number of jetties we needed to invest in. If we invested too little and built too few jetties, we would have ended up with a backlog of ships and inventory costs. And if we had built too many jetties, that would have meant we would have wasted millions on assets we weren't going to use. Similarly, in a space mission, teams conduct extensive simulation modeling. This particular team was simulating the moon landing. What they found was that in too many simulated landings, the light bulb outside the shuttle broke on impact. If the external light broke, it would be less than ideal, and the team made it their mission to ensure that the light didn't break. They spent time re-engineering the glass used around the light. Using the new material specs, they simulated again. But unfortunately, every time they did this, the model showed that the glass would break in too many situations. Now, this was something that had been going on for some time, and the team was very frustrated. They were frustrated over and over by their inability to create an unbreakable light bulb that could withstand the force of a shuttle landing. At that time, a new intern joined this team. His reaction when he came to know about this problem was a very different and counterintuitive reaction. He said, "But why do we need to even cover a light bulb? On Earth, you cover the bulb because the atmosphere has oxygen. Now on Moon, there is no oxygen. The bulb will continue to work even if the glass breaks. Problem solved." I don't know how true this story is, but you know, it always drives the main point here. Sometimes we are stuck in a situation solving the wrong problem and ignoring the core issue. This is what happened when we don't attack a big issue in a situation. And this is not only wasteful, but also counterproductive. In the world of data explosion that we live in today, the skill of finding the heart of the matter is becoming even more important. The ever-increasing data makes it very easy to lose sight of what the core issue is. This happens in business all the time. I have seen so many people trying to create the unbreakable glass and losing sight of the core issue. I am sure you have seen this in many situations too. In the previous episode, I shared the example of Coke's response to Pepsi. There, Coke was solving the wrong issue. The issue was not about how much better Pepsi tasted, but why people ever drank Coke. Here's another example. When digital cameras arrived on the scene, Kodak spent billions on mastering digital technologies. It spent years learning these technologies and spent over 50% of its R&D budget on learning digital. At the end of 10 years, do you know what was the biggest response from Kodak to a digital camera threat? It was a $500 photo CD player. I mean, the biggest threat that Kodak faced was the death of film. And what did it develop as a response? It developed a clumsy way to digitize pictures and an equally clumsy way to watch them on TV. It was again clearly solving the wrong problem there. As a result, in spite of billions spent on developing cutting-edge technologies in response to the digital threat, its response remained an ineffective one. Although these are public examples of this problem, I have seen this across organizations. Organizations that I have worked with, at client organizations, and even in the classroom. I have seen this with junior managers, with students in my classes, and also sometimes with very experienced senior managers. It sometimes feels like that someone has gone down the wrong rabbit hole, and then they just keep digging deeper and deeper. And when you are in the wrong rabbit hole, no matter how much you dig, you won't reach the goal. This becomes apparent when you enter a new situation. For example, when you enter a new role or a new organization, this is something that you see or witness often. You come across either one dominant narrative or a bunch of narratives around what the core issue is, depending on what level you join at. At junior levels, you often find one narrative. But at senior levels, you will find multiple narratives. These narratives tell you what people in that situation think the core issue to be. So how do you really find the big issue, the core issue in a situation? Is there a method of finding it? The good news is there is one. Let's find out what it is in the next segment. How do you make sure you're not going down the wrong rabbit hole? That you're not working on making the unbreakable light bulb when it is not even needed? Here is a four-step process that you can follow to get to the heart of the matter. In step one, you have to first believe that there is one issue that is more important than anything else in that given situation. If you find yourself in a messy room and ask yourself, what do I clean first? The answer would be just start anywhere and then just keep finishing it. But when you are in most business situations, starting anywhere is the absolutely wrong thing to do because you have limited time and resources. By solving the wrong issue means wasting resources, and probably you would suffer in the marketplace too. In step two, you need to identify from whose perspective you are looking for the core issue. We often make this assumption in a tacit manner. It is helpful to articulate for whom are you searching for a core issue. Is it for yourself? Is it for your direct boss? Is it for your dotted line boss? In the NASA team, the perspective you needed to take was that of the landing team manager. In the example of Coke, the problem was not from an R&D perspective, but from the business perspective. The top line and market share were both at risk. Then in step three, you need to know which goal is most important in that given situation from that perspective. In a business team, there are multiple agendas on the table at any time. You may get swayed by these agendas, which can obscure what the most important goal is. And this is a place where people make the mistake. The NASA team was working on creating an unbreakable bulb. But was that the right goal? People stuck in a rabbit hole will often say that obviously digging more is the right goal. After seeing this issue across many situations, I developed a very powerful method to find if you are in the right rabbit hole. I call this method a reverse why method. In this method, you start from whatever is the goal that you believe to be the most important goal in the situation. Then you ask yourself a probing question on why is that goal important. This leads you to a higher level goal. Then you ask the same question again as to why is that higher level goal important, which leads you to an even higher level goal. By doing this, you span the unit of analysis in your thinking. Doing this often leads to a different and a better goal that may be at the heart of the matter. The reason why people get stuck in the wrong rabbit hole is because they make this tacit connection in their mind and want to go down that path. Let me give you an example. I met with a client recently to do needs assessment for their strategy facilitation workshop. The head of the business basically said upfront that they're looking for growth, and that was their core issue. And he wanted to tell me more about the reasons why they were having problems in growth. And he was searching for best ways to deliver growth. After I asked many probing questions, it became obvious that growth was not the most important goal for the client. They had done really well, and they were worried that the competition will lower the margins and thus growth will offset this declining margin. So in their mind, they had already taken the first step in solving the problem. The core issue for them was how to protect the business that they had built. Growth was only one way of getting there. By connecting growth with their tacit goal of protecting the profits, the client had already taken the first step in the wrong rabbit hole. Let's see how we can use this reverse why on NASA example. In the NASA case, you would start by asking, you know, why are you trying to create an unbreakable glass? Because that was the main goal there. The answer would be because we want to prevent the bulb from breaking. And then you ask the question as to why do you want to prevent the bulb from breaking? And the answer would be because we want to get light outside. And so you have a higher level goal already. Now you ask this question again, why do you need light outside? And the answer would probably be because we want to navigate and explore the moon at night. By doing this, you reach two levels above and it becomes very clear that the bigger goal is to be more productive in navigation, and that's why you need light outside. So your real goal is to get light outside the shuttle after landing. Now this becomes the critical goal for you, and this helps you get out of the rabbit hole of trying to build unbreakable glass. Once you have the bigger goal, you can start to deal with it in multiple ways. This often leads to what you would have heard as reframing of the issue. But all that you are really doing here is spanning units of analysis to find the bigger goal that you're after. At this stage, you will have a critical goal in a situation that is more important than anything else. Clearly, getting light outside is more important than making an unbreakable light bulb. That was step 3. In step 4, you analyze the goal from the perspective of what is stopping you from achieving the goal. You often find a major barrier ahead for you. That barrier is the key to the core of the issue. In the NASA situation, there was no barrier except a mental barrier, which disappeared the moment you reframed the situation. So let's take the example of Coke from last episode to see how we can do step 4. In that example, if you remember, Pepsi found that people liked Pepsi more than Coke in a blind test. Instead of immediately searching for a better formula for a better tasting Coke, we can use this method. So let's think, what is the goal in that situation? Well, it was to maintain a strong market position. And the key barrier was the Pepsi challenge. Due to the Pepsi challenge, both top line revenue and market share were at risk. So then the next step is to analyze the barrier. There you may start asking questions like, is the first sip really what tells you whether you would like the full beverage or not? You may ask if taste is really the barometer in this market. Or you can start asking questions like, can you really make taste irrelevant? So you will probably end up with a different core issue, and it won't be, can we develop a better tasting formula? The core issue here can be framed as, can we protect market share and get new consumers in spite of a Pepsi challenge? Again, what you've done is you've reframed the problem using this methodology. But what you really did is, by using this 4-step method, you got to the heart of the matter. And then you can start searching for better answers. So to summarize, the 4-step method of getting to the heart of an issue is as follows. Step 1, believe that there is a core issue that exists and it's more important than anything else. Number 2, find out whose perspective you need to take to find the core issue. Number 3, use reverse why to get to a bigger and more important goal. Number 4, analyze the barrier that prevents you from achieving the bigger goal. And in that analysis, get to the core of the issue. Now, this is not really a linear process. Well, you can start the first time as a linear process, but then it becomes iterative at some stage, especially when you start to analyze the barriers. But remember that this is only half the task of being a strategic thinker. The next job is then to break this problem or this core issue in a very systematic manner to find the highest leverage solutions. Well, we will talk about that in the next episode. In my strategic thinking workshops, I take participants through many such cases. And of course, there is a little bit more to it than just this 4-step process. But by the end of this, they become quite adept at identifying the core issue. Stepping back, you should take away 3 things from this episode. Number 1, you should firmly believe in the concept of a core issue or a big issue in a situation. You should have learned what it means. And 2, you would have seen some examples of companies and people trying to find a core issue, finding the wrong core issue. And finally, 3, you should have learned a 4-step method, which will help you get to the heart of a issue in any situation. This is all that I had for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. In the next episode, we will see how do you identify high impact levers around a core issue.